the Career Mindset Podcast with Fenya and Christina, the duet that is helping you thrive in your career and live a greater life.
This podcast is inspired by the UK-based Greek-certified career coaches Christina and Fenya. They met just before the coronavirus pandemic broke out in the world, and since then, they keep connecting weekly, discussing all things career and life. This is our attempt to share our insights with you. Welcome to the Career Mindset Podcast, episode 28, Wanna Be a Digital Nomad, with guest speaker Apostolis Leousis, who is a community marketeer and a networker.
Thank you for having me, Christina and Fenya.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for coming, Apostolis, today with us. We are so glad and happy to have you. And yes, we're going to talk about a very interesting topic. For all of those out there who want to become digital nomad, I can admit that I am one of them. I'm very curious to learn everything about this lifestyle and share tips, etc. Before we start, I'd like to ask from our listeners and audience to rate this episode with the 5 stars. Please give your 5 stars to us so we can keep recording and keep having more guests and interesting topics. So, Apostolis, how are you today?
I'm doing well. I'm a bit jealous because you already told me that you are in some really nice areas and I'm staying home.
But okay.
You're living the life of digital nomad, I think.
Exactly. I just started it like a trial to see how is it. But please tell us, we are so curious about some of the key turning points in your life and career. Mm-hmm. And we would like to share with us the ones that mean something to you of these turning points.
I was actually thinking about this question. I don't know why, but I was thinking about it. And I think the turning point was when I actually did a program when I was really young about entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. Because I was a student back in the University of Birmingham in England. So I was invited to go to a program from MIT and Cambridge. This changed my life in total because I started thinking as an entrepreneur. Before I was thinking as a student, you know, typical finishing university, finding a job. And then suddenly came this week and everything changed. Even the way I actually communicate with people. I mean, before I was thinking, you know, okay, what's the point of having a drink after work, for example? And then I found out that, you know, you have to do it because, you know, it's part of, you know, connecting with people. You know, even if you don't like it, just go there, you know, have a drink, or maybe don't drink if you don't want to drink, and just, you know, talk even for an hour and then go home. But never go home before having a drink. So this was like a turning point in my life.
Do they actually teach these things like at university in England? And I'm interested, of course, the MIT approach, like go have a drink with people.
They were actually forcing us after, you know, we had like all the seminars, all the workshops. They actually asked us politely, of course, but, you know, you have to attend going to the pub and having a drink. Wow. And it was really surprising at the beginning. I was like, why do I have to go to, you know, I'm starting like all the lessons, all the workshops from 9 o'clock in the morning at like 10 o'clock in the night. So I was like, why? And then I actually found out why, because, you know, you connect with people. You never connect while you're doing the workshop. You connect afterwards while you're having like a drink or you're more relaxed.
Yes. Thank you for, I mean, turning point, absolute turning point, right? How your mind expanded. And you said that was a turning point, how you started thinking as an entrepreneur. And yes. Interesting, I was checking out your story like a couple of days ago, and you had a beautiful statement, like with a green background. And you said, what I stand for, I believe in helping people and connecting people and creating new ideas. So do you think like that really stems and connects the dots from that turning point in your life up until today?
Exactly. It's first of all, you know, you have to find out about people, and then you connect people together, and then you create new ideas. And I think after that seminar, call it a program, whatever, everything changed for me. You know, it was about connections mostly. And that's why what I'm doing now, the community marketeer networker, is about that. It's about how you actually connect the communities and people from the communities together, which I think is very important for me and for others, of course, because you add value to people's life.
I absolutely agree. And what would you say then, now that you spilled the beans about what community networker and marketeer is, what led you to create successful communities and platforms to share ideas? And how do you kind of do that?
Yeah. First of all, you have to talk a lot. And you have to be available for people like 24 hours, 24/7. And I mean, you know, I talk with people like maybe like, because I don't sleep a lot, which is not good, of course, but you know, I speak to people like all the time, you know. I speak like 1 o'clock after midnight. I speak like 1 o'clock during the noon. I'm trying to be available for them. So if you send me a message and, you know, I'm going to answer you in the first 3 or 4 hours, even if I am too busy, I'm going to reply and text you back with something at least, you know.
Mm-hmm. It was like a next step after the university and after this drink networking that you made back then, that you had to do something relevant to communities and creating platforms and connecting people. It was like something that you expected. As the next step.
Yes, but it came a bit later. I mean, the networking thing came a bit later because I was going to a lot of different events. So I was actually having like new friends or new business relationships with other people that I didn't know. So I thought, you know, why not? I'm not doing it professionally. Like, for example, connecting people together. If someone is, for example, because I was working with startups, so they were always looking for new people to add to their teams, or they were looking for funding. So I was like the middleman. So I thought, you know, why I'm not doing that, you know, professionally.
Wow, that's creativity.
And I don't know if it's creativity, but it was a bit weird because when I started doing that like 10 or 15 years ago, people didn't actually understand what the networker means. They thought that I was actually selling products from, you know, from networks. I don't know how we call it.
Network marketing. Okay,
yes.
I see.
So they thought I was actually selling products directly to them, which was not what I was doing. So I had to explain to them, you know, I'm connecting people together. So, you know, that's what I'm doing.
Okay.
Yes, like Nokia.
connecting people.
Like Nokia, exactly. Like Nokia.
Okay, so let's go back. And I want you to know, since COVID-19, the remote working is part of our life right now. Yes. So, right. And more and more people want to and choose to work while traveling. I am one of them. That's my next step and my dream. Who would you describe? I'm in Spain right now. I'm working from a small village in Spain in a community with so many grateful, powerful women entrepreneurs here. And it's the first like time that I can experience the digital nomad lifestyle. It's my closest way to do that. So, who would you describe as a digital nomad? What some characteristics maybe or traits that someone, a digital nomad can have?
Yeah, I think the first thing that we have to understand is the difference between like remote working and being a digital nomad, because they both, you know, it's about working in different places, but remote working is totally different. Digital nomad is someone who is actually traveling a lot. So for example, like you, now you are in Spain, maybe next month you're going to be in Greece. Then after 3 months, you're going to go back to London. So you're actually traveling while working. So sometimes I prefer the working traveler. For me, it's a different term. Remote working is like what I'm doing right now. For example, we're doing something, but I am at home. Mm-hmm. But I connect with you, you know, online, or maybe I can work online. Or maybe I'm working customer supports, but I am at my home. So I am a remote worker. So it's totally different. Even the way, you know, the lifestyle, everything is totally different.
You don't have to be working from the place where business technically happens, right? So you don't have to be in the office, or you don't have to be at the factory, or you don't have to be at the place where the business is being transacted. Okay, I see that. That's a useful term.
I understand that a digital nomad can do remote working, but a remote worker doesn't mean that can do digital nomading working or lifestyle.
I think you need to understand that because of the word nomad, that you're actually visiting a lot of different places and you're moving a lot. So it's about moving a lot. So, for example, digital nomad is not someone that is going to stay, for example, in Greece while he's from Spain for 2 years, because he's just going to move to Greece. He's not going to be a digital nomad in Greece. But if he stays like for 2 months in Greece and then going to Portugal, maybe he's a digital nomad, but he needs to travel a lot. And also it's about the lifestyle and how he actually thinks about things. I mean, being a remote worker, I'm just working remotely. Yeah. I mean, it's not digital nomads going to actually affect the communities that are going to, for example, they even, for example, clean roads or, you know, doing a lot of volunteer work. So it's totally different the way they think about.
That's impressive and very interesting. I'd like to tell us more about it, about all the other things that a digital nomad can do.
Yeah, I love the distinction, actually. So thank you very, very much, because it wasn't clear when we were forming the questions with Fenya. So you said that the digital nomad actually is a working traveler and therefore they impact the communities. But how would they do that if they're just traveling, basically passing by? Do you mean that a remote worker who goes and stays in Greece doesn't impact the community as much? Or is it? So tell us a little bit about it, actually.
A remote worker can be someone that does just, you know, buys a house or, you know, renting a house, for example, in another country, and he's working from there. But, you know, he might not do anything else for the community. Digital nomad usually trying to be involved, or they're trying to find other people like them. And, you know, they might want to find out about the history about the place that they are going. But not only that, they might actually want to actually help. For example, you know, being part of the community. They just want to be part of the community. That's, I think, the key word. A remote worker might be indifferent, you know, just working there because he likes the weather, but nothing else.
They definitely contribute to the economy. So there's a difference there, how Apostolis uses the term community. I love that. And whereas I guess I also half Greek and I go and work in Greece for summer every 3 months. And obviously I contribute to the local economy, I'll say. The whether I'm contributing to the local community, actually you're making me raise awareness now that actually I'm not necessarily being part of a community. I'm being a 3 month tourist, but not necessarily part of the community in that way.
Are you sure? Because from what I know, you're actually giving lectures or you're being part of workshops and you're doing that voluntarily.
Locally,
so it's volunteer work.
To the country, not locally necessarily, but yeah, okay.
It can be locally as well. I mean, doesn't mean whatever you do for the country, you can do for the local people and local businesses at the same time. So yeah.
Okay.
You're a digital nomad, Christina.
I'm kind of in borderline. Let's see. So let's ask Apostolis. So I'm obviously realizing that it's something much broader than what I thought it is. So is digital nomadism here to stay? And if so, why do you think this is the case?
I'm not quite sure if it's here to stay, or it's maybe a fancy term for people, you know, because I think just to travel, find an excuse to travel more. I don't know. I think it's probably going to stay because more people are going to travel now since we are not having any COVID issues right now. So travel is open. So it's not going to change in the near future. I hope so. So I don't know about the mentality, because I think right now people are trying to stay a bit more in the places that they are visiting. So they are becoming more part of, you know, the local culture. So they don't like to travel maybe so much as before. But of course, there are digital nomads that are actually traveling a lot. I'm not a digital nomad now. I'm a remote worker, for example. I'm not considering myself to being a digital nomad right now. So I keep saying that to all the interviews, but people are calling me, I'm not a digital nomad right now. And they all look at me weird. But that's the truth. You have to accept.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been a digital nomad?
Yes, before, but I was not actually aware of the term digital nomad while I was being a digital nomad. So when I found out about the term digital nomad, I was not so much of a digital nomad. And then came COVID, and, you know, I was not traveling a lot, maybe not at all.
Yeah. Okay, so what are the core skills which make a successful digital nomad then?
I don't know if it's successful or unsuccessful. I think Digital Nomad is just like a term that we use. And I know a lot of people that are actually Digital Nomad, but they don't want to be called Digital Nomad because they don't want, okay. they don't like the word Nomad. So I'm not sure. I think, as I said before, you know, it's how impactful they are to the places that they are going and how they are actually make connections to the place they are going. And this is also something that they're actually looking for, because another question is, for example, what are they looking for when they go to a different country? And one thing is like finding like people, you know, to connect with, or finding activities to do, or being in a secure place. Safety is very important for them as well. So they have like different kind of things that they are looking for.
Interesting. So do you think like, I'll ask a little bit more on that question, because for example, my typical business mind is coming up and thinking, so where are they paying their taxes and what type of businesses do they run? And how are they doing it while they're away in a different time zone? So all of these questions are coming up in my head. And of course, I'm not asking you to give me a typical digital nomad and what they all do, but some of the ones perhaps that you thought, wow, he's doing exactly what I want to do. Or if you have friends who are actually doing that right now, what would you say kind of their approaches are on this? Because I've heard so many people from the corporate and a lot of my clients, you know, some of their dreams and some of their future vision of this themselves is being a digital nomad. And I think you're busting some of the myths that perhaps are out there, but I think it would be useful to hear from you and your experience of having been one, but also being connected to those communities, because you run one of the Facebook groups of digital nomadism in Greece, and you're really posting useful content on there about how it is to be a digital nomad in Greece. Can you kind of share a little bit about the taxation, the kind of types of
business? The practical things, you know, being a digital nomad, all these
Okay, I'm going to give you an advice. Find a good lawyer and find a good accountant. No, it's the real story, because I hear a lot of people are actually trying to give advices and some of them are not helping. They are confusing people. For example, in Greece, if you have to be an accountant, I'm sorry, but even if I know some things, you have to find a good accountant, which is really strange and really difficult to find one that has experience, you know, from this kind of with this kind of people. But I want to give you a fine example of something that I actually, someone told me a few years back. And he was a digital nomad here in my area and in mountains. And I told him, you know, how are you actually doing that? Because the internet is not so good in your area. And he told me, you know, it's no problem. I'm actually doing it from my tent. And I say, what do you mean from your tent? And he was describing being on the beach during summer, which in Greece is very hot. And he was actually having Zoom calls with his clients from a tent. And I was really so amazing that he was actually doing that from a tent. Near the beach. And I'm not sure how he was actually doing that, because internet was bad, the heat was unbearable, and he was actually doing like at least 1 hour calls with clients. He had like 2 or 3 clients every day at least. So I was really surprised about that when I heard that.
Yeah, and during the breaks he was just enjoying the sea and he was just having fun in the beach.
But imagine being on a tent, inside the tent. And, you know, it's like 40 degrees or something.
I don't know.
Wow.
I know.
He was hardcore, that's for sure. What type of business was he having? Was it like advising?
Consultant.
Consulting.
Okay. Consultant, I think, a technical consultant in something, I think.
Oh, wow. So he must have had good internet. I'm sure he had some sort of power oomph, you know, dongle or something. And he was, you know, providing Wi-Fi for the whole beach.
Something like that, because I think he was on a remote beach and that was the most amazing stuff, how he could actually find internet connection at all. And, you know,
he had some sort of special connections with the NASA satellites or something.
I'm not sure.
No, guys, you can use your data from your mobile phone and do your housework.
You can do that. But I think the area that you was, if you didn't even have, you know, connection for your phone, to call people.
Okay,
I was so amazed when he told me the story. This is like the typical digital nomad. You can actually work from anywhere, even from a remote beach with bad internet, but you could actually do the work.
Wow.
Okay, a problem
if you can
solver
actually
then.
If you can actually do that, you can become a digital nomad.
Okay, so you should be a problem solver. You should be creative. You should use your imagination to find solutions. Flexible, of course. and so many other skills.
And maybe. It's not about luxury, because we see like this image of people, you know, having a laptop on a pool. Okay, you can actually do that as well, but you know, it's not always like that. You mostly work from cafes, which might be, you know, near the sea, which is real nice, but you know, you need to have the right equipment. You need to have a laptop, whatever, you know, you can actually work with.
Yeah, you need a plugging point, I guess, and you need a little bit of kind of good internet, not too much music in the background and all of this, depending on what you do, of course. Interesting. So next stop, guys, I'm going to be in Kyrgyzstan with a yurt at the back in a satellite dongle and watch me.
Let's do the experiment, Christina, and see how you can do it.
Be sponsored, I think, by the Apostolis Deusis fund, the community fund. Brilliant.
But it's really nice if you can actually do it, if you can actually commit to this lifestyle. For example, if you are afraid maybe to travel to a country, you know, or, you know, afraid to leave your family behind or your friends, then I'm not sure if you are actually fit to be a digital nomad.
Okay, so there here, just one question. How someone could start becoming a digital nomad without having any other experience before? What are the first steps that someone can do in order to change this lifestyle and, you know, go this?
Okay, give 5 stars to this podcasting and, you know, hear about what we are saying. And, you know, find other podcasts about, you know, digital nomads. Join groups. It's very easy to go to a group and ask questions. Some people are going to answer your questions, even if it's like very technical question, they're going to try to give you an answer, which is really nice. I mean, people are asking like from, you know, finding a place to stay or advice how to become a digital nomad.
Yeah. Okay.
Also, I think they can actually check with embassies to see, you know, if you're like, you're not from Europe and you want to travel to Europe, you need a visa. So you need to check with your embassy to see, you know, what you can actually do to get a visa to visit this place for longer than 1 month, maybe. Yeah. So this is like your first step to find like the right information to start traveling as a digital nomad.
Okay. So yeah, imagine in all these governments' websites, we can find everything we want. Okay, then.
There are actually interesting that we obviously are talking to Apostolis, who's a community marketeer networker. So it seems to me that digital nomads have a way in which they tap into communities that are very supportive, that share a lot of information. And actually, there is a sense of belonging. Even if you're all around the world, there is somebody who's going to be in this part of the world at that point in time. And it's almost like they're obliged to help somebody else who's going through the same journey, you know, either starting as a digital nomad or already a seasoned one. And when they land to their territory, they take care of them to an extent, right? So there is a lot of belonging in that community globally. So I think you mentioned a couple of things that I wanted to dwell on, which is, you know, if you have a family and, you know, want to leave them for a long time and so on. So it seems like when you start and commit to this lifestyle, actually, it's a little bit of a serendipity journey, right? It's not like, okay, I'm now going to go to 5 countries and I'm going to just do exactly that and exactly. So you don't really plan. You just stay for as long as you want and then you move on to the next place and then you move on to the next place. And is that correct, Apostolis?
Yes, you're still doing some planning. It's because, you know, you still have to travel to a different place. But sometimes you don't organize things, you know, you just know that they're going to find a community in a place and you just go there because there are certain places that can actually can, you know, co-live with other people and, you know, learn from them or, you know, find out more information or help you. But in the end of the day, you have to understand that it's like something that you're doing alone most of the time. So you need to be prepared, you know, that you're going to travel alone. You're going to do a lot of things alone. Maybe sometimes you're going to feel very lonely in your travels, maybe, but you know, you have to take the risk because, you know, you learn things. Mm-hmm. You are working with yourself as well. A lot of people are actually becoming digital nomads because they're going to find out about themselves. To leave their safety bubble and their comfort zones and everything.
What are the typical jobs that digital nomads do?
Okay. Of everything that, you know, have to do with a laptop or digital or maybe, I don't know. It's not like about doing some jobs like, I don't know, maybe cleaning or something because you're not a digital nomad then. You don't have digital in your terms. But usually it's people, you know, that actually creating software, developers, graphic designers a lot, people that are actually, what else? Even live streaming, I don't know. Maybe some people are actually broadcasting from different countries because I know a lot of people that are actually want good connections when we are visiting a country because we want to do things like what we are doing now. Or even yoga, for example, is structured, but they're actually doing it from other places.
True.
Yeah. Fantastic.
But mostly consultant is, I think most people are actually in consultant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, consultants or coaching, I presume. And
yeah, coaching,
like
of course, coaching, yes. Yeah, how could I forget coaching? I have two nice coaches. Yeah, and I forgot about coaching, yes.
Yeah, it's obvious. It's right in front of you. One of our questions was, do you notice there are geographical areas that digital nomads prefer to operate from? And what factors contribute to that choice? So do you kind of, now that you've got, a little bit of community access to all of these beautiful communities around the world where digital nomads are helping each other, and you mentioned a few of them in our podcast already, do you get a sense of where people tend to flock in and why they do that?
I think most of the people used to go to Asia, like Bali, even Vietnam and other countries like that. After COVID, because of the COVID, people started, going back to Europe, for example, Portugal, and some in Greece as well. Mm-hmm. And I also found out today that one of the most popular destinations is in Namibia, a place in Namibia, but I can't pronounce it. Apologies to people from there. I can't pronounce the name. It has a real strange
name for me. You can send it on the comments.
Yeah. We'll try to type it. But it's real. So I never expect people to go to Namibia, being a digital nomad in Namibia. Mm-hmm. I thought, maybe internet's not good there.
It's a country just above South Africa, for those who are listening to us right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Mexico is a very popular destination as well.
Mm-hmm. So would you say like a lot of hippies and a lot of digital nomads tend to congregate together?
maybe. Actually, it's a really good point. Maybe, digital nomads now, the hippies of the past. Maybe. I'm not quite sure about that. Mm. But maybe.
Yeah. And what
I don't know if it's this connection between hippies and digital nomads. I don't know.
But they actually live together and they do things for the community. They enjoy life and all of these things.
Everyone lives in a community. What does it mean? Everyone is a hippie.
It's not exactly. I'm not sure a lot of people are actually living in communities. I think they're living in a city, but they're not part of the community.
Isn't this? Yeah, that's true. But still, in society, from the perspective of the society, a city is a community, right?
Technically.
But they're not. Yes. Maybe they're not very close to nature. I mean, most of the people are actually very close to nature. Digital nomads are very close to nature. That's why they actually select locations that are, are really nice to live with, like maybe inside mountains or by the sea.
Yeah. Okay, interesting. So I love the fact that, technically a society and a country would consider, for example, me living in my local community because I pay my council tax there and I have a house and da-da-da. But actually, when it comes to community for a digital nomad, it's a very different, there's different criteria what it means to be part of that community. And obviously, it's a temporary relation, but quite much more a deep connection that they create. Their memories, contribution probably goes both ways, there's definitely a goodbye at some point as well. But in terms of the factors that contribute to making those choices, so you mentioned a few, like obviously good internet, scenic routes, scenic places like nature, mountains, the sea, or something like that. But would you say there are other factors, more practical factors, or maybe not so practical factors, such as cost of living or food or political landscape? Tell us a few more if you are aware of any.
I think cost of living is very important. A lot of people are actually asking, like I see that in groups as well, can I live in Greece with 1,000 euros? And, everybody is surprised when they hear, yes, you can. They say, oh, I thought it was two. Yeah.
Can you?
1,000 euros. Yeah, of course, Basic wage is
a lot less than that.
Okay.
It's, Greek people, live with much less than 1,000 euros.
And actually, this is like a hit topic for people, They start, fighting over wages and how much is 1,000 and Anyway, the cost of living, yes, is very important. Good internet connection as well. Safety. A lot of people are actually asking how safe it is, especially if, like, maybe a woman, you know, wants to travel alone. She wants to be sure that, you know, it's safe to go to a place. And they are not actually asking directly if it's safe, but, you know, they're actually trying to find out about, you know, how is like the local economy or the government and stuff like that.
Things like that.
They also ask about leisure activities. Sometimes, you know, they ask, you know, can I do, for example, kite surfing? Where can I actually do kite surfing in Greece? So they actually want to find out. So leisure activities and stuff like that is very important for them as well.
Mm-hmm. And for someone who wants to start as a digital nomad and want to, don't know, make their first journey, and maybe they want to come to Greece, is there any place to contact for to stay there, or how they can do that?
I think I'm actually going to do some advertising now, but there are a lot of
That's why I'm asking you.
Chain hotels, for example. But for example, Selina is a very popular place. I don't know if you heard about it. They have like hotels everywhere, I think, in the world. So even in Greece, for example, since you mentioned Greece, I think they have like three hotels now, I think, different places. Mm-hmm. One is, the first one was in my area for a strange reason. I never understand why. But, you know, they opened the place. You know, the first place was here in Greece, in my place. So, you know, I feel very proud about that.
Volos or
it's
elsewhere?
The Mountain Pillion, which is like nearby. It's 5 minutes away.
So there are digital nomads friendly hotels and places for people.
Yes.
For nomads people. Okay, that's amazing. Okay.
So, for example, you are in Spain. There are like different kind of co-living places. But you need to accept that lifestyle, that you're going to live with other people and share things together, like maybe bathroom or maybe kitchen.
Do you find that people are quite friendly, and do they have like a code? And for example, I guess they're sharing a kitchen, and do they cook together, or are there like community rules in those places, and how is that like, would you say?
Some of them are more organized because, for example, co-working spaces, they're also having co-living now together. So they actually work together, you know, and you're living together. And also they actually plan activities for them, for people that are going to stay there. So you're just going to rent a room, you know, and you're going to have like different kind of things, you know, planned for you while you're there. So it's easier. But usually, they have a code with... They are very open, you know, in sharing things, like even your mobile, you know, they have like WhatsApp groups and they actually connect with each other. So the first thing they're actually going to do, even if you go to Spain, for example, like Fenya, is like find out, you know, about the local community, if they have like a Facebook group or WhatsApp group or a Viber group or whatever, and join it. And then, you know, you can ask questions, you can see, you know, where they meet and everything. And everyone is very friendly for a strange reason.
They have fun. They can be friendly.
A bunch of loners and brave explorers. And I guess it's nicer when you share memories in a place with other people. Beautiful. And I think that will be much harder for a family person to do that. Pretty much more hard for a young mother to do so. But I think, you know, it's probably, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but maybe it's a little bit skewed towards the male population, maybe. But I think it doesn't mean that, you know, women who want to, you know, and have the support can, you know, escape for a little while and do that type of lifestyle as well.
Actually, one of the few, of the first maybe, these salons that I met that actually came in my area were women. They were actually traveling. Some of them were like Greek, half Greek, half German, half Greek, half, I don't know, from Spain, other countries. But a lot of women were actually traveling and starting to become digital nomads. And most of them, you know, was after they had like a burnout. So they want to change their lifestyle. So they start becoming digital nomads to change their lifestyle. So I'm not sure. And I also met a lot of families that are actually traveling with vans in different countries. So they have like a van, all the families inside, and just travel around, which is quite nice, I think.
That's fair. Maybe the next time we can have like a real digital nomad to share their own experience and their own tips and advices.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, thank you so much, Apostoli. I think it was a very nice, you know, journey of explaining, you know, how your journey took you to become, you know, from a UK university to, you know, change your lifestyle, get into startups, start creating communities, starting to, you know, create an identity, which is very different to what we know marketing is supposed to be, at least how we learn it at university, and how that led you to become a digital nomad, and how you are now powering communities and helping them to land to Greece and enable them to find, you know, good information for them to be able to, you know, enjoy their lifestyle. And of course, appearing in our podcast to share all of that wisdom and that knowledge and that support you offer out there. Very, very beautiful. Thank you so, so much.
And thank it was you. Great having you. You here today, because you shared the most important, the greatest need that people have nowadays to create a community and be part of a community and live in a community and feel the community. Even if, as you said before, we live in cities, but we're not part of this community. So it's very important. And I think digital nomads, this is what they look for, the community, being part of a community and the connection. And this is what you do. So it's amazing that we had you here today and you shared all these amazing and important tips and advices and stories with us. Hope you enjoyed it and thank you so much.
Yeah, because you actually made so many good questions, you know, it was really nice to actually hear, you know, the questions and trying to answer them, you know. I don't know, basically become a digital nomad, you know, try it. If you don't like it,
it's okay. Yes, let's do it.
Yeah, you don't have to lose anything, you know, just do it.
And exactly, we can interview Fenya on the next one and say how.
Okay,
was your...
No, I'm not a digital nomad, guys. Wait.
No, you are. Now okay, you are. Okay, because okay, you traveled to different countries. You are from Greece. You went to London. Am I right?
Yes.
And now you're in Spain.
I'm in Spain, then London, then Greece, then I don't know. So many other options around the corner.
You're also working. It's not like very often going for leisure.
Oh, no. So... I'm not in holidays here. No, I'm working. Okay.
So, guys, connect with Apostolis Leousis. We will share some of his information in his handles. He's super helpful, lovely, and, you know, he will, if he doesn't know the answer, he will connect you with the right communities. He's amazing at, you know, integrating and connecting. We call them integrators, actually, in America, right? You know, people who are helping people belong and connect and create beautiful ideas from that connection. They're called integrators. So he is the one. Community-wise, there's many different, you know, ways in which you can think of communities and what marketing is in those new spaces. Humans interact in a different way on online communities and so on. So he's the person to connect with. And we once more want to thank you for being here with us, Apostoli. And of course, we look forward to having you again in the future soon.
Thank you so much for the invitation. Have a nice day.
Don't forget to give us your 5 stars, guys. And thank you for listening to us on Spotify and on iTunes. Bye.
Bye-bye.
This was the Career Mindset Podcast with Fenya and Christina, the duet that is helping you thrive in your career and live a greater life.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode, and if so, please rate it on iTunes. Feel free to ask us any questions you have or topics you want to discuss. We'd love you to connect with us at LaRoot Coaching and Eudaimonia Coaching UK on social media. Check our podcast description for our details, and we hope to see you again soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.